This is another repeat of Lit 101 practice test titled Clear Thinking that I will dictate at 225 words per minute. I've got to tell you that I've screwed up and had to redo this a few times now, and I'm running out of steam. I hope I can get through it reasonably well and wish you success too. Ready? We've all caught ourselves doing mindless things like locking ourselves out of the car or throwing dirty socks into the garbage or saying excuse me to a store mannequin. A friend tells a story of three generations of mindlessness. One day a young woman was about to cook a roast, and before putting it in the pot, she cut off a small slice. When asked why, she said because her mother had always done the same thing. Her curiosity aroused, the young woman phoned her mother to ask why she always cut off the slice before cooking the roast. Because that's the way my mother did it, the mother replied. Finally, the young woman asked her grandmother why. Without hesitating, her grandmother replied, because that's the only way it would fit in my pot. The consequences of operating on automatic pilot range from trivial to catastrophic. The examples that follow demonstrate how we sometimes cut off our common sense when we treat information as though it were true, regardless of the circumstances, and how, by keeping our wits about us, we can stay open to life's possibilities. Number one, look for more than one solution. An experiment was conducted to see how people responded to problems. An actor stood on a busy sidewalk and told the passersby she had sprained her knee and needed an ACE bandage from the nearby drugstore. The pharmacist had agreed earlier to say that she was out of ACE bandages. After being told this, very few people out of the 25 that were stopped thought to ask if the pharmacist could recommend some other kind of bandage. Unfortunately, once people get their minds set on a single solution to a problem, they often fail to look for others. No matter what dilemma you face, you'll find yourself with more options if you realize there are no absolute answers, but rather a range of possible solutions. Number two, question assumptions. When I was still in school, my elderly grandmother complained to doctors that a snake was crawling around in her skull, giving her headaches. The young doctors who treated her paid little attention. They thought her unusual descriptions were nonsense and diagnosed senility. My grandmother died a year later, and not until her autopsy did anyone detect her brain tumor. I shared my mother's agony and her guilt, but who are we to question the doctors? For years afterwards, I kept thinking about how all of us had allowed ourselves to be trapped by categories. Faced by an old woman making fantastic statements, the doctors assumed my grandmother must be senile. My mother and I, meanwhile, automatically thought of the doctors as experts and assumed that they knew better than we did. When facing any unfamiliar situation, it is critical that you question all of your assumptions before mapping out a course of action. Number three, routine dulls the mind. The rhythm of the familiar often lulls us into mindlessness. Once in a department store, I gave a cashier a new credit card. Noticing that I hadn't signed it, she gave it back to me to sign. Then she took my card, passed it through her machine, handed me the resulting form, and again asked me to sign. The cashier then held the form next to the newly signed card to see if the signatures matched. In this case, the clerk's action resulted in nothing more than an amusing story. But the consequences of becoming so used to one way of doing things that we block out the present world can be dire. A few years ago, an Air Florida plane crashed, killing 78 people. It was a regular flight from Washington to Florida with an experienced crew. An extensive examination after the crash pointed to the crew's pre-takeoff control checks. On this day, the pilot and co-pilot had conducted their routine checklist as always, but while they appeared to be thinking, evidence suggests they were not. One of the items they checked off but did not consider activating was a pre-flight engine anti-ice system. This time, however, the pilots were not flying in warm southern weather. Heavy snow was falling and some of it was accumulating on the wings. The plane crashed on takeoff, largely because the pilots failed to deal with the snow problem by activating their anti-ice system. In this case, the cost of the mindless behavior was absolute helplessness in a situation that would otherwise have been manageable. Number four, don't generalize. As adults, we are prone to use very general statements to explain dislikes of problems. For example, take someone who hates winter. If she lets her thoughts become more particular, she may discover that what she really dislikes is feeling restricted by heavy winter clothing. A down parka or heated parking at work might change her outlook. Or consider a couple arguing over whether or not to get air conditioning for their home. She can't stand the heat, but he objects because he gets cold in his air-conditioned office. Perhaps the best approach is for him to wear a sweater in the office. By forcing yourself to identify specifically the source of your dissatisfaction, you will increase your potential for solving the problem. Number five, change the context. Too often people get stymied into thinking automatically of what they can't do rather than of what they can do. For example, a young musician recently told me of his long-standing inability to finish the songs he composed. This had bothered him deeply. deeply and he felt like a failure until he reframed his problem. Rather than seeing himself as incapable of finishing a song, he realized what a wonderful gift he had for composing new themes. He then teamed up with someone who is great with musical detail, and together they are highly prolific. This technique of placing a problem in another context can have even more dramatic benefits. For example, most people believe that pain is inevitable in a hospital. Caught in such a mindset, they assume that without the help of medication, it cannot be controlled. In an experiment, two doctors tried to teach patients facing major surgery to control their pain by putting it in a more optimistic context. They were asked to imagine themselves either playing football or preparing for a dinner party. In the midst of a rough skirmish of the football field, bruises are hardly noticed. Similarly, cutting oneself while rushing to prepare dinner for 10 people might also be something hardly noticed. In contrast, getting a paper cut while reading a dull magazine really hurts. With examples like these, patients were taught that pain tends to be influenced by how we see a situation. Hospital staff mentioned the use of medication and length of stay of patients in this experimental group and in the control groups, which had received no counseling. Patients who were taught to reinterpret their pain in non-threatening ways took fewer pain relievers and sedatives and left the hospital sooner than the untrained patients. By placing their hospital experience in a different context, the participants gained more control over their convalescence. Sometimes our control over a situation is limited only by our ability to view it imaginatively. We all need to live as creatively and mindfully as possible and to stay open to new information and perspectives if we're to be successful in getting where we're going with our own aspirations and lives. Well, what was that? A little over 6 minutes. 225, the time was pretty well bang on throughout, but I did screw up a little bit in that last segment saying hospital staff mentioned the use rather than monitored the use, but who's going to know the difference? Over and out.